Today's daf is Daf Tes Zayin in Brachot. We're holding on Daf Tes Vav Lamed Beis at the bottom, at the two dots. So we were in the middle of various ma'amarim of Reb Chama bar Rebbe Chanina, and we continue today. Yesterday we spoke about the special value, his maimer about the special value of being careful with the osios of Kriyat Shema. And today he continues by saying, Laman Ismecha Ohalim L'Nechalim. The truth is, Rashi's girsa, Rashi's assumption anyway, is that the meaning over here is not Ohalim, but Aholim. And the references to the Pasuk of Kinechalim Natoyu Ka'ahalim Ale Nahar. So it's comparing Nechalim to the Ahalim, which is a little strange because it does point out the meaning of Ahalim over there is Aloz. The Pashtas, and not tense. And so the Tosfos, and including Rav Nissim Gaon over here, also learned that it's a reference to Matovu O'Halacha Yaakov Kinechalim. That was the Ohalim of the Matovu O'Halacha to the Kinechalim Natoyu. So the second part is like Rashi. In any event, Kidechsiv Kinechalim Natoyu Kiganut Alei Nahar, Ki Ahalim Natar, that's how Rashi is learning. Lo malacha manechalim ma'alim et ha'adam mituma l'tahara af ha'alim ma'alim et ha'adam mekav chova l'kav zechut. So the same way a person, the Lashon in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, is that just like a person goes in tamei to an ahar and comes out tahor, so too does a person go into a Beit HaMedrash or a Beit HaKnesset, molei averes and so on, and he comes out molei mitzvahs. Hakori l'mafrei alo yatzah, continues the Mishnah, somebody who's reading a Kriyat Shema in the backwards, and we said that was backwards in terms of the words, the introduction here is a little bit nogea, that shaila. Assuming that the next piece is literally connected to that opening, which it's supposed to be. The Maisa was like this, Rabami and Rabasi have a kakachin like Yenonet L'Rabalazar. Rabami and Rabasi were friends with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was going to get married, and they were busy setting up the chuppah. Now the chosin, while everybody's busy setting up in the chuppah, doesn't have much to do. So he said to them, you know what, while you're busy working, why don't I go and I'll go to the Beis HaMedrash. And I thought, we'll make a deal. I'll go to the Beis HaMedrash, I'll learn, and then I'll come back and I'll tell you over what it is that we learned. So that way, at least, you know, we both get, what's the point of wasting my time here? Okay, so he said, while you're busy setting up the chuppah, let me go. I'll go to the Beit HaMidrash. And then I'll come back and I'll tell you what I heard. So he goes into the Beit HaMidrash and he hears a Tana saying in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Karavata'ah. Veino yodea leicham ta'ah. A guy who was reading Kriyat Shema and he gets confused. And now he doesn't know where he was up to. So what he should do is, if he's be'emtza ha'perek, then yagzor l'rosh. If he's in the middle of one of the parashot, so then he should go back to the beginning, because there's no way to know where he was. If he knows he had already completed one of the parakim, he doesn't remember how it is, what was he supposed to say next. So it's bein perek l'perek, yachzor l'perek rishon. Now this, the reason that the mashmaut over here is that it's going back on our korei l'mafreya is because if he would now say a part that he wasn't sure if he said before and wouldn't go back to the beginning, so it would be out of order. So if you get a korei l'mafreya in terms of the psukim, I know I read these, but did I read that? So let's go back and read the whole thing straight through from beginning to end, from the point that he knows, because otherwise it would be out of order. How about if he gets mixed up between k'tiva or k'tiva? He knows he's about to say uchtavtam, and then, oops, was that the first uchtavtam ayadecha, or was that the second uchtavtam ayadecha? Something which, as we all too well know, is the type of thing that can easily happen. As one of the Tanoim in the Yerushalmi said, we really owe our heads a great deal of kovod, because at least they know when to automatically bend when you get to bodim. All right, so here you are, you're about to say uchtavtam, and you don't remember now where you were holding. Yachzor v'ktiva rishana, so you should go back. Wait, did I say Ben Perek or Perek? I think I did. Anyway, if you get mixed up which Perek, you go back, of course, to the first break. In other words, before Vayayim Shemoah. If you're up to Chtavtam, Le'ot, and you don't know which one, go back to the first one. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, which point? Rabbi Yochanan interrupted the Tanna who was saying this in front of him and said, now wait a minute, that's not always true. Because Lo Shanu Ela Shalo Patach B'Lama'an Yirbu Yimeichem, if he began saying Laman Yirbu Yimeichem, and then he says, wait a minute, was I supposed to say Laman Yirbu Yimeichem, or was I supposed to go on to Vayayim Shemoah? Then you don't have to worry. Because again, you're on autopilot. So why would your autopilot have made a mistake? You may be stupid, but the autopilot always knows what to do, right? So if you started off saying Laman Yirbu Yimeichem, so then Sirchei Nakat Vasi, so then the flow, you're just in the flow, you have a right to rely that your subconscious knew what it was doing. Anyway, so Atavi Amalavu, so comes back the Chatan, Rabbi Elazar, and he goes, tells Rabami and Rabasi what he just heard in the Beit Midrash, and they're busy still on the Chuppah. So they said, oh man, that's great, if we hadn't come for your Chuppah, we would have just come for this, great. How many times that happens? We figure Laman Yirbu Yimeichem. Can we rely on that? Fantastic.
What's the Heilige Mishnah?
Omanim korim brosha ilan ubrosha nidbach. And we started off this perek talking about how one reads Kriyat Shema. And the first thing that we discussed was the kavana that is necessary for Kriyat Shema. Now, the question is, we even saw about standing still and so on. I mean, what about your position? There are certain positions that are a little bit difficult to have kavanah in. You know, I mean, if you're a window washer on the 78th floor, you know, and it's time to say Kriyat Shema, you're sort of dangling over there in front of the window. Do you say Kriyat Shema there, or do you lower yourself to the ground and say Kriyat Shema and go back up again? Now, the question, of course, also involves the employer, because a guy who employs somebody to go up to the 78th floor to wash windows is not going to be too happy when he spends a half an hour going down to read Kriyat Shema, half an hour going up, getting back, you know, which is the normal Jewish approach. Well, it's Pesach, it's Erev Pesach, it's Purim, you know, it's the Shahi Pahi, as the Gemara in Megillah goes. There's always, Jews are always taking off for something. So this is not going to be much good. And then, of course, our real concern over here, I mean, it's a bit facetious, but the real concern is for melacha. We have a standing concept of the chashivut of melacha. The mokra in the Mishnah is the idea that people that are being osik the melachta, they want to do not stand up for the people that are bringing bikurim, osim mitzvah, and so on and so forth. So you're not supposed to interrupt your work. Because once you're at work, you are meshubah to somebody else, and you're not on your own any longer. So the question is over here, if you are an uman, you're working on something, either as gardening, so you're on the top of a tree, or you're a builder, and you're on the Rosh HaNidbach, you're on top of the scaffolding. Actually, the Nidbach is really the stone wall itself, but in our terms, the scaffolding. So these people can read where they are, and they don't have to go down in order to be mechayav in Kriyat Shema. They wouldn't be allowed to do that in Tefillah, because over there you need Kavanah that apparently is on a different level than the Kavanah of Kriyat Shema. We'll see about this in the Gemara. Furthermore, once we're talking about the ability to concentrate, we review now the sugya that we spoke about earlier in the discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and trying to figure out what Peshach Pechov Kumecha Blach Tchavaderach. Here is the Mishnah that deals with this issue. Chatan. A chatan is patur mikriyat shema laila harishana. So now the first night of his wedding, he's patur from kriyat shema, and we'll see, those of you who were here earlier will recall that there's two issues here. There's the tirdat hamakshava, and it has to be a tirdat hamakshava that is part of an asiyat mitzvah. So therefore, since he's involved in getting married, and his marriage is certainly matrid him, and he's thinking about his wife and how he's got to consummate his marriage and so on. So until such time as he actually consummates the marriage, imlo asa ma'aseh, at least from the first day they used to marry on Yom Revi'i, Betula, until after Matzai Shabbat, once already Matzai Shabbat, I mean, even if he wasn't Oseh Maaseh, he didn't consummate the marriage, he's still already basically used to the situation. He's no longer getting all hung up about it. But until then, he's not able to concentrate. Rabbi Gamliel got married, and he went ahead and he read Kriyat Shema the first night. Hey, wait a minute. I thought, didn't you teach us, don't say Kriyat Shema? Amar lahem, get off of me, man. I'm supposed to listen to you guys and not say Kriyat Shema? It's absurd. What exactly is that supposed to mean? Again, we'll see in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Ha'umanim korim b'rosh ha'ilan v'rosh ha'nidbach umit palalim. Now, the Mishnah says you can't do this for tefillah. And indeed, you can't. But the Braita adds, there are times, the situations where you could do it for tefillah. Let's say if you're on the top of a zayit, or you're on the top of a te'ina. Now that's the kind of tree that is very supportive. You're not concerned about falling. So you could even daven there. What about the problem of not davening in a high place? It says you're supposed to be in a mima'amakim karaticha. That's a reference like standing on a chair. This would be the equivalent to being on a second story. I mean, certainly daven on the top of a skyscraper. That's not called a high place. The question is relative to your immediate surroundings. Is it high? So here the tree is large enough for it to be considered to be like an aliyah. It's supportive enough for you not to feel that you're going to fall off. Therefore, you could concentrate on your tefillah. Vishar kolaylanot, but other types of trees that are you're holding on for dear life. Yordim lemata umitpalalim. Now, this is all taking into consideration the value of the work that you're doing and the responsibility that you have to do it for other people. But the Baal HaBayit himself, who's working for himself, well, then he's got to take off a little bit more time. Benkach, no matter what kind of tree he's in, Yored Lamato Mitpalel, Lefishen Datom Yoshevet Alav. Now, Rashi understands this to mean the difference is the Baal HaBayit because he doesn't have the she'ibud, someone else. And since Lamaisa, a tree, isn't certainly the preferable place to concentrate, you could concentrate there, but if in order to have full concentration, you should be down on the ground.
So about the Kriyat Shema?
No, we're talking about the tefillin.
And even the Kriyat Shema?
So it depends how we understand the whole problem over here. The question of it, by the Baal HaBayit here it says Beferish Mitpalel. The simple way of learning this, Rashi has to introduce now a higher level of concentration, which we'd prefer you have, but a B'diavad, lower level, which we never saw before, really. And therefore, the other Rishonim learn very poshut. The Baal HaBayit is not used to being on top of a tree. The worker is used to being on top of a tree, so he can bob in there and not. And be able to concentrate, so it doesn't bother him. But the Baal HaBayit is not someone who usually finds himself on the top of trees, so he should go down to daven because ain't that to him you shevet alav. But in any event, in terms of Kriyat Shema, we're willing to accept the level of concentration that we have, because after all, you don't have to see how long the Kriyat Shema turns out to be only one pasuk, really, the way we pasuk, that the Kavanah is necessary. Rami Le Rav Mori brought about Shmuel Aravas, a Rav Mori who was the son of Shmuel's daughter. We don't refer to his father. His father's name was Isser. We don't refer to his father because his father, at the time that he fathered him, was a goy. Shmuel's daughter had been captured and raped and was impregnated with this son. Then afterwards, the goy who raped her actually became a ger, naturally. You start up with these Jews. That's what happens. And became a ger and turned into Isser, who was in the Beis HaMedrash all the time, and so on and so on. But meanwhile, we refer to Rav Mori as the son of Shmuel's daughter. So he asked Rav Atznano, Manim Korim Barosh Ilan Barosh Anidbach, if in contrast to Tfila, it says over here that workmen can read on top of a tree, even when the tree isn't very supportive, or on the 78th floor of their windows. So Amalo Boi Kavanah. Doesn't that imply that there's no need for Kavanah? But I thought we said before, V'ramini HaKorea Shema Tzarif Shechaven Et Libo. You do have to be Mechaven in Kriyat Shema. And he brings us an interesting brayta here. We didn't have the whole thing before. Shenemar Shema Yisrael, which we thought was enough. But he brings a braita that learns it from a gzera shava of Shema Yisrael to Hasket Shema Yisrael. Hasket means pay close attention, which we said that was not necessarily in terms of Kriyat Shema before. So Mala Halan Bahasket Avkan Bahasket, which means that you need to be paying attention. Ishtik. Boy, that shut him up good. He didn't know the answer to that, Rava. So finally he said, okay, usually people ask questions and stump people have an answer and they're just trying to put them in the corner. You got the answer? Midi Shmielach Abaha, did you hear anything about it? Actually, I did. Amalei, Hachi, you know, usually somebody comes over and asks you for a vart. What you should really do is, okay, tell me, what is it you wanted to say? You know, then I'm at least interested in listening to your vart. So, Midi Shmielach Abaha, did you hear anything? Amalei, I did, actually, now that you asked. Hachi Amarev Sheshes. Vuhu Shibetelin Mi Malachtan V'Korin. The point over here is that when you read the Mishnah, it said, Korim Barosh Eilana Barosh HaNidbach, you thought it meant that you simply ignore the need for Kavanah, and you go right on washing your window, or right on doing the gizum on the tree. That's not the point. There is a level of Kavanah that's necessary. You have to stop working. All that we're saying is you don't have to get down on the ground, because Kriyat Shema is brief enough that you're able to concentrate sufficiently, even though perhaps not enough for tefillah, because the whole union of Bakashat Rachamim is a different level of Kavanah. In Kriyat Shema, the idea is the Kavanah and the meaning of it and so on. In the tefillah, you have to really change your heart. You're being Oved Belipcha. That's Ezu Avodah Belev. That takes a lot more concentration, time, and quiet, and surroundings. So that whole din of hikon likrat elohecha, which we'll see later on, that a person has to prepare himself for tefillah in various ways, one of which is in terms of his surroundings, an environment that encourages concentration. But it certainly doesn't mean for kriyat shema that you just go on working and doing your window washing. Is that true, though? That's what we said before. Be'vatani be'tilel omrim. Remember when be'tilel was saying, be'lechecha v'aderech, means you can do whatever the heck you please. You'd be sitting, you'd be standing, walking on the road, and he adds, oskim b'malachtan, you can be even working v'korim. So why do you say that the Mishnah means you have to stop work? No. There's two. Remember, there's a din of Kriyat Shema, and then there's a special halacha of al levavecha, which is a din of kavana in Kriyat Shema, which doesn't apply to the whole Kriya. So lo kasha ha b'perek rishon, ha b'perek sheni. And of course, as Tosis points out, Perek Rishon is Lav Davka, according to the Man D'Yoma, who holds that it's the entire first Perek, so that, which is why Rabbi Yochanan learned before, and Rabbi Akiva, fine, it means Perek Rishon, according to the way we Paskin, means one Pasik. But the point is that Beit Hillel was referring to Oskim B'Malachtan on the rest of Kriyat Shema. Tana Rabbanan, HaPoalim Shayu Osim Malacha Itza Ba'al Abayit. There's various halachot that we have to know about what is allowed for a person who has a job, and that job means that obviously we take into consideration the fact that you have to eat, take into consideration the fact that you have to go to the bathroom. We're not going to detract from your salary for the things that are necessary for human existence, and included in a normal hiring of a poel is the fact that if he's going to eat, he's going to have to make a bracha, he's going to have to bench, and if it comes time for a shema, he's going to have to say shema, and so on. However, the question is, how can we alleviate some of the pressure? Because after all, the man is not on his own time. You know, it's all very nice to say, I like to daven a long Shemona Esrei, you know, so you hired me for 2 hours of work, but half an hour of that goes for Shemona Esrei. I mean, what's actually a way to make life easier on a poel to get less time for mitzvahs and more time for the job he's supposed to be doing? So the din is like this. Korin Kriyat Shema, there's no way to let them off of Kriyat Shema. They say Kriyat Shema. They say Brachot Kriyat Shema. If they're eating their bread or chlim pitan, they have to make a bracha before the after bracha. We'll see, we may be able to give them hakalot in that later on. When they come to Shmon Esrei, they daven Shmon Esrei. They do not make a minyan. In other words, if they've got a minyan there, they don't make a minyan with Chazaras HaShat. They just daven in your dim lifnei ativa. if they're Kohanim, ein nosin kapehem, they don't make Birkat Kohanim, and so on. In other words, we stick to the minimum. And, wait a minute, but you're saying they got to daven the whole Shmoneh Esrei? I mean, there's a way out of davening the whole Shmoneh Esrei, isn't there? But Tanya may ein Shmoneh Esrei. The Braita says they don't have to say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. They say may ein Shmoneh Esrei, which we'll see later on, is a special nusach that was made that includes all of the middle brachot of Shmoneh Esrei. So you say the opening and closing, and then you include one bracha that has all of the various elements in a word or two for each bracha, called Avinenu. And they don't say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Omer Pshesh Lokasha, that's not a problem. I mean, we know later on there's a machloket whether we actually rely on the tefillah of Avinenu. So machloket is between Rebbe Gamliel and Rebbe Yoshua. So according to Rebbe Gamliel, a person has to say Shmoneh Esrei, normally, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, he doesn't have to say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. He could say the brief version of Shmoneh Esrei. Wait a minute. If it's Rabbi Yeshua, then it makes no sense. If it's Rabbi Yeshua, why do you have to be a Poel? Anybody can say a brief Shmoneh Esrei if they're in the mood. I mean, so why would it say, Ma'ayre Poalim, Afilu Kol Adam Nami? It doesn't make sense to say that the Shita over here that says Me'in Shmoneh Esrei is Rabbi Yeshua, because Bedavka Rabbi Yeshua holds that anybody could say Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. Oh, you're right. Actually, the other way. It's got to be going according to Rebbe Gamliel. Because otherwise, I mean, anybody would say Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. And why? What would define then the difference between a Poel who says Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei and a Poel who has to say the whole Shmoneh Esrei? It depends whether they're working for their keep or they're salaried workers. If they're salaried workers, they can't say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. It's not their time. They have to say the Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. If they're working for their keep, then it's an understanding that, okay, you know, I'm not really paying them. I'm just gonna, they're gonna join me in the meals and so on, but that's about it. Now over there, it's understood that they have a right to take off and to daven like anybody else, and so it's okay for them to say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. And indeed, Vatanya, there's actually a Braita that tells us this difference. We're not making it up. It says in the Braita like this, Apoalim shayu osim ben lachayit zel ba'al habayit, kor'in kriyat shma, umitpalalin, vochlin pitan, ve'ein mevorchim lefaneha, ava mevorchim la'achareh ashtayin. Now, according to this Braita, the drabanans, in other words, the brocha lifnehem, although not everybody has the girsa as we have it. If you take a look in the Bach, he brings that both the Rif and the Rush have Mivorchim Lefaneha. The short Bracha Lefaneha, you do say. And in fact, that's how we paskin. The Bracha afterwards is Mivorchim Lacharea, but not a regular Birkat HaMazon. Instead, there's only two Brachot. The first Bracha of Hazan is normal. So Bracha Rishana Ketikuna. The second bracha includes in it the rest of Birkat HaMazon. So it starts off Birkat HaAretz, the way we do it, Nodeh. And you include in Birkat HaAretz also Bonei Yerushalayim B'Birkat HaAretz. And the bracha D'Rabbanan Avatov HaMetiv you skip completely. B'Amei Dvarim Amurim, now this is the part that's important for us. B'Amei Dvarim Amurim B'Osim B'Scharan. This is only on salaried workers and they can't take off to make a regular Birkat HaMazon. Aval, osim b'su'udatan, oshaya ba'al habayit meisavi mahem. If they're only working for keep, or if the ba'al habayit is part of the meal, and then it's understood that he's basically, you know, palsy-walsy to some extent, expecting them to join him the way he's acting, then mevorchim ketikuna, then they say regular Birkat HaMazon. But ma'isa, we are not makbid on these halachas generally, because we understand nowadays people have gotten a lot more religious, and it's assumed that if a guy hires you, you know, he expects you to bench and everything. However, it is no geah halacha lemaisa. For instance, let's say three people are eating together, one guy finishes early. Can he wait for, they don't want to, he says, you know, let me bench, they don't want to answer for him. There, indeed, the modern poskim say he shouldn't, he should go walk away and go back to his job. In other words, to whatever extent you're wasting more time than that is absolutely necessary for your Iker Chiyuvim, you're not allowed to. You go back to your job. What's assumed, it's only because of the Umdanam, in other words, all types of business relationships are defined by the assumptions that are the normal social assumptions. So in our days, the normal social assumption allows for standard Birkat HaMazon and so on and so forth. Chatzan Patur Mikriyat Shema. Now we're going to go over the whole sugya that we had before, because now it's in terms of the Pirush of the Mishnah, but we really know this from the Gemara earlier. So Tana Rabbana, b'shivtecha b'veitecha implies prat la'osek b'mitzvah. Uvlech l'chavaderech implies prat l'chatan. Now we understand that an osek b'mitzvah means literally osek. In other words, he's busy with it. A chatan is not busy. A chatan is tarud. There's two completely different issues over here. So we need two psukim. One to tell me that while you're actually busily doing a mitzvah, that there's no chiyuv of doing another mitzvah like Kriyat Shema. And the other is to tell me that a chatan who can't concentrate is patur. There's a question as to whether this means that hatoreid b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, or this is only a din in the kavana mitzvah lagabi kriyat shema. We'll see whether there's a generalization about a concept of tirda b'mitzvah later on. Right now, let's assume we're talking only about kriyat shema. And mikan amru akoneset ha-betula patur ve'ata amana chayav. And from here we said, is very unclear, because the tirda the mitzvah, I mean, if it says chatan, it doesn't say what the problem is with the chatan. So we can assume that the idea of the chatan is that he's involved in the mitzvah, even though he's not osek the mitzvah. So he's not currently actually doing the mitzvah, but he's got a mitzvah on his mind. So why does it follow that it dafke if he's koneset a betula? What's the difference between a betula and an almanah? It's always a mitzvah to get married. So why isn't that enough to potter him? Okay, now let's go back to the drasha. My mashma, excuse me, but where does b'shivtecha b'veitecha and so on, v'lechtecha v'aderech, where does that imply that we're talking about exceptions for someone who's involved in a mitzvah on some level? Well, says Rav Papa, look, I mean, if it says b'lechtecha v'aderech, I mean, what's a derech have to do with a mitzvah, right? A derech, by definition, is just wherever you happen to be going. So just like a derech is a reshut, af hakanami reshut. The Torah is therefore saying, if you are involved in your own business, then you should say kriyat shema. But if you're not involved in your own business, and you're doing something particular, which the Torah told you have to do, then you don't say kriyat shema. But how does that follow? I mean, milo askinan dekazu l'dvar mitzvah. Couldn't do v'lechcha v'aderech mean a guy is busy going on his way to a brit milah, or he's going on his way to bring a korban pesach? I mean, why does derech mean dafka, that it's your own business? And nonetheless, the Torah was saying, afilu ach yam rachmana, despite the fact that you're on the road, I don't care what you're going to, I don't care if you're on your way up to the Beit HaMikdash to bring a korban, stop and read Kriyat Shema. Maybe that's the way to understand the pasuk. Likrei. Now, because then the point would be, I mean, if it's not b'lech techava derech, why does it say b'lech techava derech? Whether walking on the road, why you're walking on the road? I mean, we're talking to you. What's the point of saying b'lech techa? Shmamina, the point of b'lech techa is when it's your own business, in your walking on the road. That is to say, your concerns of walking on the road. So b'lech techa, shmamina b'lech techa, hu d'mechayavta, ha d'mitzvah p'tura. You'd only be chayev when you're doing your own walking. Okay, now you're saying that the idea, therefore, is that if you're involved in a mitzvah, so a guy who is walking, so to speak, to his own wedding, you're now saying, since that's a mitzvah, he should be patur. So what's the difference whether his wife-to-be is a betula or an almana? Yachi mai arei akoneset ha-betula, afilu koneset ha-almana nami? I mean, he is busy, so to speak, on his way to the chuppah. No. The difference is that hacha tarid, v'achalo tarid, taking a betula is much more problematic mentally than taking an almanah. An almanah, you figure, okay, you know, we'll get this over with. The betulah is already the first time, and it's a whole hassle, and is it really going to work out, and is she really a betulah, and all the things that people think about at such a moment. So certainly he's a lot more involved in thinking about his wedding if he's taking a betulah. Well, wait a minute, so now you're saying the issue is not the mitzvah? You're saying the issue is, can he concentrate? Well, so then if the problem is the concentration, you want to get out your picture again, Richie? Mm-hmm. The picture.
The picture, oh,
yeah, there we go. The Titanic, yeah. There we go. Yeah, just pass it around, show around. The back, they don't see anything. They don't have any humor back there anyway. There's no, nobody smiles on it. This guy hasn't had his, what's your name?
James.
Huh?
James.
Ah, now I understand. I mean, that's about as straight a name as you can get. He ain't going to crack a smile. But show him the Titanic anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
he happens to be a husband.
So, oh, maybe that explains it. Okay, so then even if he just shipped out on the Titanic, I mean, he's got all of his, everything he owns is on the Titanic, you know. So that ought to get him a little bit torud, you know. He just lost everything. So should he be potter from Kriyat Shema? I mean, he's not, because Alom Hamer of Abba Bar Zavda Marav Avel, a guy who's in mourning, is still Chayav B'chol Mitzvot HaMorot B'Torana. He may be very deeply psychologically tarud in his loss. Nonetheless, we're not letting him off just because of that, you know. You know, get yourself together and say Kriyat Shema. So why then the Chatan? I don't understand. I mean, you can't have it both ways. If it's a question of Tirda, then what's the difference if it's a boat? And if it's a question of Mitzvah, then what's the difference if it's an Almanah? No, and it says over there, by the way, the Chayav on Mitzvahs is one Mitzvah, he's not Chayav on, that's Tefillin, Shorei Nemar Ben Pe'er, Shinemar Pe'er Chachavo Shalech. And so remember that we talked about the way that Rashi explains before, that it's Eino Noeh for the Avel, who is Megulal Be'afar, and that's the first day that he should be wearing Tefillin. Okay, but we spoke about that earlier, we won't go into the details. Obviously, Per Chachavo Shalecha is the moker for the actual Isser of wearing Tefillin for the Avel, and it's there, but why did Rashi have to give the explanation that we discussed? Answers the Gemara, Hatzam Tirda de Rishut Hacha Tirda de Mitzvah. What we understand, Belechtecha Vaderech Belechet Ditcha. So the Belechet Ditcha means when you are involved in your own business. An Avel is involved in his own business. Despite the fact that he may have the Chiyuvim to show Avelut, he does not have Chiyuvim to feel Tarud in Avelut. That's not part of the mitzvah of Avelut. Avelut is a mode of behavior in which a person goes through steps of mourning. It does not include the psychology of having a mind that is torud by mourning, and therefore that's not called tirda the mitzvah. Where the mitzvah itself involves a tirda, such as getting married to a betulah, there you have this particular betulah of belechtecha. If the mitzvah doesn't involve tirda, then it doesn't come from the pasuk, because we only have this one additional limud, and again we have to apply Occam's razor, so we have the most you can learn is when you have these two elements. Tirda and mitzvah. Remove one of them, either the case of the ship, which removes the mitzvah, or remove the other, such as the case of marrying an almanah, which removes the tirda, and then the heter doesn't apply, and you'd have to say kriyat shema. The tirda is a necessary result in, as part of normal psychology of the mitzvah. In other words, it's involved in taking a betulah. Involved in the mitzvah of the avelut, there's no tirda whatsoever. The death, maybe it's the death of someone that's very close to you that is not b'chayav avelut, right? So that would have just as much tirda. The death of someone that is b'chayav avelut, who you couldn't wait till they drop dead anyway, is still b'chayav avelut. But again, the tirda element is not part of the mitzvah, one way or the other. Either you are tarud or you're not tarud.
My son is also considered tirda of the Rishus. If your mom says, in a pickle of nefesh, saving lives would be
quite a big mitzvah.
He isn't on the Titanic. He only shipped his stuff on the Titanic.
That's
too
it.
Smart
yeah,
for that.
You got to answer that way. I thought on the Titanic.
Try that again.
Rachatz
Laila Rishon Shemeita Ishto. Now, Rabbi Gamliel had a little bit of a history of never following his own teachings. Okay? So the first thing was that when he was a chosen, he said Kriyat Shema. The next thing was his wife died, and he went ahead and he went and took a shower that night after the funeral. And his Talmidim said, didn't you say that an Aval is Asur Lirchatz? So he said, yeah, but that's for regular people. I'm not a regular person. Istanisani, I'm a very delicate constitution over here, and I'm a bit spoiled, and if I don't take a shower, then I will be miserable, or maybe even sick. The Rambam, actually, as opposed to everybody else, says Istanis is Istanis, with a tsadi, which is Mitsunan. No, not in the modern sense, but I have a low metabolism, so I need to get warmed up all the time, you know. But as Tosis points out over here, the iser of rechitza for an avel, is because of ta'anuk. For whatever reason, and that's true on Yom Kippur too, in other words, or Tisha B'Av, whatever reason we aser washing in water, it's always because of ta'anug. It's not there's a specific iser of washing in water. So if there's a reason that you're washing that is not for ta'anug, you have a skin problem that needs washing. So of course, wash. That's not the rechitza. That was awesome. You're chilled. So wash. That's not the rechitza. That's awesome. And so on and so forth. So that's what he's saying. I'm not washing for ta'anug. I'm an istanis. Another thing that he did that was inconsistent was when his servant Tavi died, he basically acted like an avo and accepted tanchumim for his servant. Omrulo tamidab, so again, his talmidim said to him, Limadatena Rabbeinu she'ein mekablim tanchumim al avadim. I thought you're not supposed to accept amokom yinachem otchem when it comes to an eved. Amalem, that's for other people. Ein Tavi avdi kishar avadim. My servant Tavi is not like normal avadim. He was an Adam Kosher Haya. Chatan imrot selikrot kriyat shema laila rishon kore. If a chatan feels that he can say kriyat shema, so then he should do so. Remi Shimon ben Gamliel omer lo kalarotze litol et Hashem yitol. Now wait a second. In doing so, this person is asserting that I would never miss kriyat shema, and I am not like other people. I could certainly concentrate on kriyat shema. It's all those plebeians out there that don't know how to say Kriyat Shema on a night like this. You think a little thing like a marriage should get in my life in the way of Kriyat Shema? That kind of statement shouldn't be made by a guy who can't really make a statement like that. You have to be able to deserve making such a statement. So therefore, you want to take on yourself the shame of being a chassid and a frumer and so on and so forth. You have to earn it. You can't just put on a long black coat and it's a complicated thing. Yeah. Now, what was, getting back to Rabbi Gamliel, who went ahead and he took that shower, isn't there an Isser D'Oraisa, basically? There's a concept called Aninut. It's the first, we're talking not about an Avel now, it's the second, third day of Avelut. It's the same night as the funeral. The day of death itself is Aninut, and the Torah tells us that there's a concept called Aninut in the Dinim of Meiser. Lo achalti bo'oni mimeni. It means that the status of Aninut is recognized midiraisa, and it's an Easter diraisa. It's for this particular thing about Maaser, fine, but in other words, once we're koveya these Isurim, would we not be machmer on the first night? No, he holds Aninut Laila the Rabbanan. Actually, even the Aninut in terms of the dinim of Maaser are also only during the day. Dichtiv, the day of the burial, it said the death itself, actually. Dichtiv achritak yom mar. The end is a bitter day, but only a day, not the following night. And therefore, the takana over here at night was only a drabanan that had no shorish diaraisa. As Tosis points out, anyway, the whole thing is drabanan. What exactly is the Gemara talking about? I mean, the din of Aninut has nothing to do with the din of not washing. The din of Aninut is not eating Maaser, Midiraisa. So it says the Gemara is taking for granted that if there would be dinei aninut midioraita that would include the night, then the Rabbanan would certainly have been mitaken ki'ilu it's the oraita, the chumres on the night. But since he held that aninut is only the yom, even the nogea maaser, so therefore it was like any of the other days of avilut, and therefore there was no gezera whatsoever on rechitza for someone who is not washing for tanug, but rather needs it for his overall well-being and health. This is how Tosfos understands it. The question of whether you have to say b'mokam istinis lo gozer be'rabbonan, according to Tosfos, is a problem. Because according to Tosfos, it has nothing to do with the fact b'mokam istinis. It just has to do with what the definition of rechitza is. In other words, let's say that he would have had some sores on his skin. He had psoriasis or something, and he needs to wash in order to take care of his skin problem. Would we need to say that b'mokam psoriasis lo gozer rabbonan, or would we adover borer that that's not the meaning of ruchitza? B'chara, we wouldn't need to say it. Sounds like we say on Yom Kippur somebody who has to shampoo his hair because he has a scalp problem. So you can shampoo his hair, right? Or Tisha B'av. So, I mean, it's the mashmaut over here is that an istinis is not a dramatic need, and that for an istinis, a shower would have elements of ta'anug in it, because his istinis requires that aspect. Just, he's spoiled and needs this to get along. So we need a special concept of b'makom istinis lo gozer be'rabbonan. Again, this we'll discuss Bezrat Hashem on our Friday review. If you come back from a funeral of your Eved or your Shivka, you do not make the Shura in the Beit HaKvarot in order to say HaMakom Yenachem Etchem. In other words, the owners are not treated as Avelim, even though obviously emotionally the relationship to an Eved and Shivka is very deep. Ve'eino Omrim Aleihem Birchat Avelim. We don't say the Birchat Avelim in the Rechava, where we make the meal, and we have that whole special tefillah that is discussed in the Ketuvot. We don't say HaMokom Yenachem Etchem. Ma'aseh u'meita shivchato shor Rabbi Eliezer. Once Rabbi Eliezer Shivcha died, and all of his Talmidim knew that they had a very close relationship, and Nichlesu Talmidav l'nachamo, so they came in to be Menachem, as if he was an Avel. When he saw them coming in, alala aliyah, he went all the way upstairs. So they followed him. Nichnas van pilon, so he goes into the antechamber that he had over there before his living room. They followed him. Nichnas the traklet, so he goes into his dining room. They follow him into the dining room. He turns around to them. He says, "There's something wrong with you guys. Kimedumani shatem nichmim b'poshrim. You know, I thought you were smart enough that if I pour sort of tepid water on your face, you'd get the message. Now I see I can pour boiling water on your face. You're not smart enough to get the message. Have I not told you? The halach is that avadim u'shvachot ein omdim aleihem b'shura, ve'ein omrim aleihem b'rikat avelim, v'lo tanchumei avelim. If you want to say you're sorry about a person's loss, you don't say amokim inachem etchem. You say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. You could say if a guy's jaguar was crushed by a truck, you could also say, I'm sorry for your loss. So fine, say that. I'm sorry for your loss. Shem shomrim lo la'adam al sharov, al chamorot shemetu, if a guy's jaguar died. So you don't say, I'm sorry for your loss. You know, the guy was dreaming of that jaguar for God knows how many years. Okay, so that's what you say. Abakom yimalei lecha chesroncha. God should give you back what you lost. So fine, just say that. So kach omrim al avdo shivchato. Abakom yimalei lecha chesroncha. But don't come here being menachim. Tosfos says the reason we're so marked on this is because if people see Kabbalat Tanchumim, they will assume that they're b'nei chorim. And therefore, they'll take their children as being kosher and marry them and will end up with hitbolalut. By the way, I mean, the general question over here that the Achronim speak about is, and if he would be, let's say, not an Eved, he's not your relative. Is that what they say? My Eved, you know, it's only an Eved, so you're not, what do you mean it's only an Eved? He's not related to you. So what, if he wouldn't be an Eved, so then it would be okay to be Mekabel Tan Chumim. First it's supposed to be Mekabel Tan Chumim on friends.
It's by the base of them. It's true, man. It's by the base of
them. So you see from here that the extension of Bayit is the equivalent of an actual relative, of a blood relation. As a matter of fact, we take it further. We say the same thing is true about a Rav or about a Talmud. So that somebody who has a din, that's choshev keben, choshev ke'av. Also, even though there's no blood relationship, so the dinim of avelut were said on close relationships. So as Rav Barnea is pointing out, over here this has a din of beito, so it's an extension of self. Yeah, actually they say that in halacha. Tanya idach. Avadim ushvachot ein maspidim otan. Also, there's another brayta that says you do not say a hesped, even on an eved like Tavi, even though the Gemara brings various bimorim and so on about Tavi, but not a hesped. Rabbi Yossi says, well, I mean, you could say something. I mean, you just don't bury a guy. I mean, if he's an eved kosher, you should say something like, "Hoy, ish tov ne'eman, such a fine, upstanding person, ne'nem yigyo, worked hard all his life." So they said to Rabbi Yossi, man, if you say that about an eved, what are you going to say about anybody else? I mean, what more can you say about a person? Imkein ma'i nachta l'ksherim, so why does it know nobody else is going to be able to have a hesped? You already said the best things you could say. Tanarabona, ein korin avot ela l'shlosha, vein korin imahot ela l'arba. We'll see that the reason we begin this is because the idea of eved and shivcha very often, children will refer to, you know, papa so and so, you know, or ma'am in the sense of ma'am, you know, or mammy. Mammy Jane, and so on. So the question is, do you refer to an Eved as Papa so-and-so or a Mammy so-and-so? We start off, first of all, saying that the status of an Av for Klal Yisrael is limited to the three Avos. We don't say, and Yosef HaTzadik is one of the Avi HaUma. He's not an Avi HaUma. You don't call the Imahot only the four mothers. You can't say that great people root is an aim ha'uma. Now, why is that? Is it because you can't really be sure whether you are a descendant? I mean, like, you know, what are you going to say? Our father Yosef. I mean, maybe you're not from the tribe of Yosef. So how can you say our father Yosef? Is that the reason? Ilay mi mishom deloya de'inat imiru uven ka'atinan imishimon ka'atinan. So then you shouldn't be able to have four mothers. How do you know whether you're from Leah or you're from Rachel? So then there should only be two mothers. So clearly that's not the issue. The fatherhood and the motherhood over here is not necessarily a genetic fatherhood and motherhood. It's rather a term of chashivut, of a paradigm of what the Ummah stands for. So therefore it's got to be something else, because we all have dinim rocho katinim ilea katinat. Ela ad haga chashive, tvelo chashive. The sense of the paradigmatic definition of what Yisrael is only these three men and these four women. Everybody else could be very chosher, but they don't stand for the definition of the Ummah. Tanya Idach, another bright on the same lines of Av Aim, is that Avadim Lishvachot should not be called Abba Ploni or Ima Plonit, which, as we know, is really very, certainly in the American South, that was very much a norm. Because that's when you get very close to a person, it becomes, you know, or in other places you call auntie, you know, uncle Jim, and you know, and that was true of Avadim as well. But you should be careful not to use the word Abba Ploni ve'Ima Ploni, except of course for Rebbe Gamliel. Meshav Rebbe Gamliel, how you call him to Abba Ploni ve'Ima Ploni? What is this? Wait a second. You just said you don't, and then you say Rebbe Gamliel did Maaseh L'Istor. You're not bringing us proof by showing us the opposite. No, we're showing that there are special circumstances. Mishum dechashivi, where you have very important people, then indeed, it's not that it's usur, it's that you can't just throw it around. It's not something that you give out lightly. No, the avadim in the house. The avadim mishvachot, the choshev avadim mishvachot.
And the kids would call him more than the...
No, not necessarily. Once they get a name and everybody calls them that. Yeah. Omer Reb Elazar, my v'chtiv ken avarecha b'chayai b'shimcha esa kapai. So the Bishimcha Sakapai, we understand Nisya, there could be no say Livavoa Kapayim El Avino Shabashamayim, that's Tvila, I understand. The Avarecha B'chayai is that which I do all the time, as if it's part of my life, or as the Marsha says, it's what I'm ready to be Moser Nefesh for, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so it's with my very life. So Ken Avarecha B'chayai refers to Kriyat Shema. Bishimcha Sakapai Zut Tvila. And if that defines the life of the person, the chayav, imosekein alava katuv omer, continues therefore the pasuk about the next pasuk, kemo chelev vadeshen tisba nafshi v'siftei rinanot yahalel pi, and that will be his zechus, and that would mean that he's lo od elashenochel shnei olamim, olam hazeh olam haba, because siftei rinanot means that there's two levels, and one is olam hazeh and one is olam haba. Rabbi Elazar brought to the Messiah Tzilut Yomar Hachi. After Rabbi Elazar would finish his davening, he would say, where we say Elokai, he would say the following tefillah. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetishkan bipureinu ahava v'yachva v'shalom v'reud. That you should put in our pur, this in the sense of Purim, into our lot. Although there are some who learned pureinu means literally our bed, which is the other meaning of Puria as a bed. Ahava v'yachva v'shalom v'reut. V'tabeg v'leinu v'talmidim. V'tatzliach sofenu acharit v'tikva. See to it that our life has hope and success at the end. V'tasim chalkenu v'gan Eden. V'tikdenu b'chaver tov. V'yetzer tov b'olamcha. Give us a good friend and a good drive in this world. V'nashkim, let us wake up in the morning, v'nimtza yichula v'avenu lirat shemach, and just find ourselves naturally yearning for the yiras Hashem. V'tavo lefanecha korat nafshenu letova, and may the pleasure of what we are and the needs that we have come before you for good. Rabbi Yochanan Basar de Messiah says that Rabbi Yochanan would say his version of a tefillah after the tefillah. Omar hach, yiratzom lefanecha Hashem lokinu, shetatzitz b'boshtenu, look, take a look every once in a while. Take a peek at the mess that we're in down here. V'tabit baratenu, take a good look at how lousy everything is. V'titlabesh barachamecha, v'titkaseh b'uscha, v'titatef b'chasidutecha, v'titazer b'chaninutecha. And doing that, dress yourself with your rachamim. Cover yourself with your power. Wrap yourself with your chesed. And put on a belt of tachanunim.
Just instead of the
Yeah, we're going to get to where we pick up what we do afterwards. We'll talk about it. This goes on for quite a while, so until we get to the end, let's hold it. Rabbi Zera bought to the Besayim Tzilut Yomar Hachi. Rabbi Zera had his tefillah. Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shelo nechte, velo nevosh, Veloni kalei mi'avotenu. We shouldn't be any worse than our fathers were, the way most people learn it. Reb Chiya bought to the Matzli Amar Hach, Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetehe toratecha umunutenu, va'al yidve libenu, va'al yechshechu einenu. Rav's famous tefillah, which became incorporated into Birkat HaChodesh, is Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetiten lanu chayim aruchim, chayim shel shalom, Chayim shel tova, chayim shel biracha, chayim shel parnasa, chayim shel chilutz atzamot, chayim sheish bo yirat chet, chayim shein behem busha uchlima, chayim shel osher vechavod, chayim shteivanu ahavat tora v'yirat shamayim, chayim shetemale lanu et kol mishalot libeinu letova. The original marking in the siddur, which said brachot tvilat rav, got turned b'meshach hazman into bischut tvilat rav, which people thought was part of the tefillah, and so they would end it by saying, you see in some siddurim it says, Bishut tefillat rav, where it's actually, it's brochot, tefillat rav, which became now, you know, so the good siddurim don't say, Bishut tefillat rav. Rebbe bata tzelute yomar hachi. Rebbe's tefillah was like this, Yiratzom mefadach Hashem elokeinu melokei avotenu, shetatzilenu mi'azei panim u'mi'azut panim, mi'adamra mi'pegara, מייצרה, מחוברה, משוכנרה, מסתר המשחית, מדין קשה ומבעל דין קשה, בין שהוא ובין ברית, בין שאינו ובין ברית. And Rebbe said this despite the fact that he had every reason to feel very well protected. His friendship with Antoninus led the Roman government to supply him with a troop of goons so that anybody who tried starting up with Rebbe would have his head chopped off. And nonetheless, he felt that he needed protection from Azeponim and Azutponim. And indeed, the Gemara brings a story in which this tefillah basically ended up saving his at least his reputation anyway. So we say this as each one of these things, or many of them, have found some place in our Seder HaTfilas. But we've still got a lot more to go, so we'll wait and see where we fit them all in.